Hi there, and welcome to another edition of Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours, give or take, and, hopefully we'll be providing information of interest to you, and we'll be taking your calls at 866-666-7926. So come on in and enjoy, huh? Right here on Marlena. And this is the program for the week of March 5th. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Marlena program. We've got some new things going on here. We've got new phones. We've got new buttons. Holy smokes. I just hope I get to push them all correctly. Before we get underway, let me do just a little bit of housekeeping and say to you that if you are listening to this program on ACB Radio Interactive or WTND-LP Macomb 106.3 FM, phew, get all that out. If you're listening at any time other than between the hours of 5 and 6 Pacific, 8 and 9 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or very early on a UTC Monday morning, 1 to 2, you are listening to a repeat. And so we'd like you to just put your feet up and enjoy the program, because this is going to be an extremely informative program. I am very, very delighted and personally very happy to bring a good friend of mine to the Marlena program this week, and someone who has done an incredible amount of work and given an incredible amount of thought to the issue of disaster preparedness, but from a blindness perspective. Help me make welcome this week my friend Frank Cuda. Hello, Frank. How you doing?
Hi, Marlena.
Oh, my phone patch is loving your voice here. It'll adjust itself out there. Sorry about
that. I've got an echo there. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll hopefully. We've got a couple of new phones in on the line, and who knows? But this is a digital patch, so it should straighten itself out. If it doesn't, we'll figure something else out. But hey, thank you so much for joining me. I am, as you know, this is a subject in which the Washington Council of the Blind, of which you and I are both members, is extremely interested in. And you caught my attention when you began providing us on our listserv with some of your tips and thoughts and suggestions on this topic of disaster preparedness. And then you actually developed a document for your website. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, before we get into this topic, I always like to kind of warm things up and kind of have my guests share a little bit about who they are with the listeners. Now, you live in the eastern part of Washington, and what is it that you do for your employment, Frank?
I'm an electrical engineer for Battelle Laboratories. It's a nonprofit research laboratory. It's actually a government lab as well, and most of my background is in electronics, instrumentation, and computers. I've done all kinds of research over the years, and in the past few years, I've pure research has kind of petered out, and I'm doing computer support now.
Oh, wow, that takes a lot of patience. patience that I would have. And I know from knowing you that one of the things that you and I share is a love of folk music, but you actually go a step further. You actually do the audio for concerts and CDs?
Yes, we have a local organization, Three Rivers Folklife. Society, and we produce concerts, usually one, sometimes two a month, and we have a coffee house as well, and I'm the sound man.
And you are, so that listeners kind of get the whole picture, you are a person who is totally blind.
That's correct.
Yep. And
I've had various amounts of vision over the years.
That was my next question. Have you been blind all your life?
I was blinded in a dynamite accident when I was 16, and I was totally blind, and then I had surgery and regained some vision. I used like magnifying glasses through college, and then I lost more vision, and I had cornea transplants and got some back, and then I lost it again. I had light perception for a long time over the last, six or eight years, and it finally went away, and I didn't even notice it go. When I saw my eye doctor here a year or two ago, we realized that there wasn't anything.
Isn't that interesting? Wow, so you weren't aware that you had sort of lost the light perception. You were just functioning the way Frank functions, which is in the dark. Yeah, Frank's always in the dark. We say that about you all the time. Well, this is great, and I'm sitting here with a brailled copy of your guide.
My gosh, you have the only braille copy.
I will give you a braille copy if you like, just so that you have one. How's that? Just for
really think that anybody that's serious about using it should have a braille copy. Really.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this guide in just a moment. But what I did was sort of formatted it up so that the sections are easily findable and you can skip from section to section in it. So I'll be happy to give you a braille copy so that you can just sort of have one and for your use or your files when I see you next, if you'd like. But the areas that you broadly cover in the guide are when disaster strikes, what do you do first? And then emergency power and radio receivers, family communication and awareness, sheltering and staying warm, water and food, and that was the one that fascinated me, but we'll get to that one. You know me, Frank, anything to do with food has got to be interesting. And then clothing, medicine, hygiene, and other items. What is different when a pandemic strikes? And the one I found the most fascinating, because I never thought about it, is your money and reestablishing your identity. And then at the end of the guide, you have other references to which you point people. So let's go back to the beginning. And what do we do when a disaster strikes, when it first strikes?
Okay, well, what I think a person should know and should be aware of is what to do when an emergency strikes that you're unaware of. Okay,
those
are the kinds of things you should have in the back of your mind. And if you read this and get just that much out of it, you know, that's really useful. The rest of it is, you know, well, that and the list is a basic list of items that you should have on hand. Okay, if you get that out of it, you've got probably primarily what you need. The rest of the material you can refer to. If you know many of the kinds of disasters, you get some warning of like, you know, like the hurricanes and things like that. And then the rest of it is of use. But if you had a braille copy and the power went out, you could look all that stuff up.
Sure.
You know.
Sure,
but the real things are those emergencies like an earthquake or a volcano or, you know, something like that, a fire, things that happen and you must respond instantaneously.
Or even like tragically this week, Frank, a tornado. I mean, you don't have a lot of warning with tornadoes. You frequently don't. And I moved out of Alabama not too many years ago, and you know, 20 minutes is a lot of warning. Now that's more than what you would get for an earthquake or a fire, admittedly, but still it's a terrifying thing. So what do we do first then? Something happens, what do we do other than we keep calm? what
Well, I'd addressed four different things initially in the first section, and that is I thought of what four things might happen, most likely happen here in the Northwest. And I thought, okay, well, earthquake, fire, some kind of like a toxic release of chemicals, and volcano. All right, and then I spent a paragraph or two in each one saying how you would react to each one, and you know what you should know and what you should know to do without thinking. And in the case of an earthquake, and this there's not much special about what a blind person would do in the case of an earthquake, except that you know you're going to have the choice of staying in the house or getting out of the house. And I think if you're blind, getting out of the house is a pretty stupid thing to do because there's going to be a lot of real big, heavy things flying through the air and moving around on their own outside, and you can't see them. So, you know, I'd say, you know, you, in general, your best bet is to stay inside.
All right. Now, let's talk about a fire, because maybe our listeners, some of them wouldn't encounter an earthquake, but, you know, fire strikes anywhere. And we've all read that, you know, in the event of a fire, make sure you have a couple of exits marked out. And, yes, that's true for blind people as well. And if it's smoky, you put a wet cloth over your face to help you breathe. So we're familiar with that kind of thing. But what as blind people do you suggest that we need to know and plan for?
Yeah, and there are several things specific that I think that a blind person needs to do to prepare for a fire. One is go around, you know, in your apartment or house, make sure all the windows open and that you know what's outside of each one, okay? So in case, you know, if you need to leave your bedroom by the window, do you know what's outside? If you jump, do you know how far it is to the ground? Do you know what you're going to hit? You know, if it's you know 10 feet or is it 20 feet? If it's 20 feet, then you should have a roll-up ladder, and you can buy roll-up ladders that are for a fairly reasonable cost. I recommend that people keep a folding cane by the bed, because if you wake up in the middle of the night and even if you get out of the house, you're going to be without a cane.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You want to have something, you know, you don't have time to go to the corner and find one.
Yeah.
And most people are going to get around their homes, but you know, getting it once you're outside, it's nice to have something like that.
One of the things that struck me as I was reading through the guide and where you're talking about fire is you say, quote, take the time right now to confirm that you can open the windows in all the rooms and take the extra effort to learn what to expect on the outside, as you just said. But I like the urgency of, you know what, do it now while you're thinking about it. Can you open those windows? You know, do you have a bunch of junk in front of the windows? I mean, I do. In this room, in this studio, if we have had a fire, I would just say, bye-bye. It's been nice to know you. But it's important to really take the time and go through and look at each one of your windows. And maybe if you live by yourself or if it's two blind folks living together and you aren't sure exactly where each window is, have two people, one on the inside, one on the outside. And, hey, I'm at this window. It's over here. And then the one on the outside hears where you are and can understand where that window is located. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's like I say, do it right now. You know, because if you put it off, you know, by the time you need to know and you don't have any time to prepare, you have to just jump, you know. Yeah, it's nice to know what you're jumping into.
Well, and I've had Michael Hingson on this program a couple of times, and he never fails to make the point that, yes, he had a great guide dog, and his guide dog certainly was a tool to get out of the 78th floor, but the single thing that saved him and helped him to evacuate was that he took the time to attend every orientation class that he could at the World Trade Center. So long before the emergency, he had it marked out in his head where he was going to go, what he was going to do, and what it was going to look like when he got there. So that's, I think, a really good strategy. What about smoke alarms? What do we need to know about those?
That's right. Something I point out is, I guess, that I think almost everyone has a smoke alarm nowadays, but a lot of people don't have carbon monoxide detectors. A smoke alarm will not detect carbon monoxide.
Really?
And that's right. And now, carbon monoxide is not normally a problem, but if you get into a carbon monoxide problem when you start burning combustible materials inside the house, like gas. Like someone starts a little portable heater up in the basement because it's cold or something, and of course those should always be used outside, but they produce carbon monoxide, and also something else is pointed out, I guess somewhere, I can't remember where it is in the document, after a disaster the power goes off, but maybe you still have natural gas. There's a tendency that we'll like to use the oven in the natural gas situation where you can, you open the oven up and let the heat into the house. Well, you're letting carbon monoxide into your house when you do that. You should never do that.
And in fact, in the recent situation we encountered here in the Seattle area, several people died because they brought carbon monoxide into their homes, and they.
Oh, hibachis is another thing.
Yeah,
and
gas
like
grills, and gas grills. Yeah. Frank, while we're on the talk a little bit about generators. That was another thing that killed some folks, is the improper use of a generator.
Right. Always use the generator outside and run the extension cord inside. And that's the only thing you have to remember about it. Oh, well, the other thing is some people think, well, I just plug the output of the generator into my household's electricity, and then I'll have electricity all over the house. That's also not a good idea. You should run extension cords to whatever you want to power with your generator.
Yeah, that's definitely a smarter idea than bringing the generator in. In fact, I think several people in the Seattle area died because of that.
I just thought of something else.
Yeah, go ahead.
The unique to the blindness situation, and that is after many disasters, whether it be earthquake, I guess earthquake is the primary one I think of, but there are others that cause power outages or major disruptions to your home, like, hurricane or something like that, but do damage to the house, physically do damage to the house and interrupt the power. It's important to run around and do some things immediately without looking them up, and that's turn off your water, turn off your electricity, turn off your gas. And as a blind person, we don't always know where these things are. You should know how to turn your electricity off. You should know where that master water control is to turn off the water for the house. And to turn off their natural gas, it takes a special wrench. I mean, you don't have time to go to, to your toolbox and find the right tool. You should have that right, that correct wrench right there at the natural gas shutoff,
So you're advocating that the wrench should be by the shutoff.
That's right. And that's something else that's in the references. You can buy a special wrench. That's just standard wrench for that purpose.
We just opened the phone lines. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. What about my radio. I'm in a disaster of some sort, a weather emergency, a natural disaster, a good heavens forbid, but a terrorist attack. And I need access to my emergency communication. What do I need to have for that?
Well, my recommendation is you get the NOAA weather radio capable receiver. And, you know, a lot of people, they run out and buy these, you know, crank radios, and, you know, they're sold as emergency radios, but many of them don't even have that emergency frequency. And what used to be the NOAA weather band has now been made an emergency band, and any kind of natural disaster information will be on that frequency, okay? And, you know, it's not on generally on any of the regular bands. And that's is part of that whole thing. And like I said, many of the radios actually have that. You can actually receive that frequency, but they don't have the alert function. And I recommend people actually buy this radio that's made by Elgin for the Red Cross, the SR, I think it's SR-300 or SR-400, it's in the references again. And those radios have the alert function built in so that the radio doesn't have to be on all the time. It can be just sitting there quiet, you know, and it gets a signal when there's an emergency and turns itself on, and which is really nice.
Yeah, yeah, that is nice. We have a caller. I'm going to bring them in just a moment, and when we finish with the caller, I'd love for you to give your tip about batteries. I found that really interesting in the guide.
All right.
Hi there. You're with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
Well, you've got two Franks now.
Oh, my gosh. Frank and Frank. It's like, now, where's the sense? I'll have Frank and sense. Okay.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up is when you were mentioning about earthquakes and the advisability for blind people to remain inside their residence in case of an earthquake. Number one, it is a very good piece of advice. But number two, in the Albany area, we have a special needs registry. And what that is it allows members of the local disabled community, be they blind or confined to a wheelchair or whatever, to register with the county. So if there is an emergency and you have to be relocated to a shelter in case of an earthquake or whatever, now, of course, in the Northeast, earthquakes are not unheard of, but they're not usually serious when they happen. But let's just take, for an example, if there was a major earthquake, the county would know in what neighborhoods people live who have disabilities and would be able to check on them in case of an earthquake or whatever. On Valentine's Day, we had a major winter storm, and they used the special needs directory to call all of those who were on the registry, myself and Kathy included, and they did call and say, this is the Albany Police Department, is everything okay? Do you know how to get a hold of us if you need us? So I think it's important that if people are in an area that's prone to earthquakes, whatever, they either find out if the municipality does have the special needs directory or strongly encourage them to get one.
Now, Frank from Albany, that is, I have a question for you. Did your ACB affiliate work with your local jurisdiction to get this registry, or did it exist?
Well,
how did it come to be?
We weren't the ones who thought it up, if you will, but as soon as we found out we had it, we did have the emergency management coordinator come and explain it to us, and we have aggressively helped sign people up for the registry to make the local disabled community aware of that it exists.
Frank Cuda, what do you think about that?
This is great, and we're doing that in this state too. We have a group of people working with the state and also I think on the county level. And what this document that I produced is a 7,500 word document. Okay, it's very condensed, and it's what to do until the emergency services people get to you, basically. And I don't talk about at all about emergency services. There's a lot being done though, and to develop plans in each community to do the kind of thing you're talking about. And yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and our people in the local emergency management sector have informed everybody that if it's really major, you should be prepared to sustain yourself for 72 hours. That's the bottom line. But I wanted to throw that in about the special needs to registry because I think it is important and it does work.
All right. Well, thanks, Frank from Albany.
You're welcome.
You too. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926 is the telephone number. Frank, what about the batteries? I found that fascinating.
You know, I just thought of something. Yeah. I don't know what size of batteries the SR300-400 take. Marlene is referring to my reference in this document that you standardize on one size of battery for all of your things because, you know, you can stock up on all the various sizes, but what about rechargeables and da-da-da-da? So I've standardized on AA. So I've got a little pocket scanner that has AA batteries. I've got, you know, my lights, my radios, my recorders, everything possible. It takes one size of battery. And then I've got, you know, different technologies. I've got alkaline stored away that will last for a long time, have a great shelf life. I've got rechargeables and ways to charge them up, and they have a lousy shelf life, but you can charge them up and so on. And so, just have as few different technologies as possible because afterwards it's a lot more difficult to deal with more than one technology.
We have another call. We'll bring them in just a moment here. But one thing I wanted to share with you, Frank, on batteries, no matter what kind one settles on, and I so love the idea of settle on one kind if possible, maybe two, but another resource for you to know is that the Container Store sells battery-containing boxes. And, you know, they would be great to put into your backpack as part of the contents that we'll chat about here in just a bit. They keep your batteries all together. They hold 12 at a time, and they're pretty darned inexpensive. So let's bring this caller on in. Hi there. You're with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Joe Hart from
Hello,
Michigan.
Joe. How are you?
I am wonderful because we don't have a disaster going on right at this moment. But I'm in Michigan, so we can wait 5 minutes.
Now, there you go.
But I did want to discuss two things. One, a generalized thing, and that's often overlooked. I do work a lot, as you know, on Americans with Disability Act issues, and that includes evacuation policies. And one of the biggest things systemically that we have a problem with, and we could see this with Katrina or any big natural disaster, is if the basic communications and the basic transportation and the basic environmental infrastructure is not accessible to begin with, then the evacuation and the disaster preparedness is kind of a moot point. Most of the people that died in Katrina were people with disability.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bottom line that we should all organizationally, in any organization that we belong with, I don't care if it's ACB, NFB, CIA, you know, UAW, whatever, should be prepared to work with. And that includes, you know, pretty simple things. And it includes what some cities are looking at, including like Massachusetts, with getting enrollees and databases of people with disabilities of various sorts so that they can be pinpointed, and those are voluntary, not, you know, privacy intrusive. But the other thing, and that's a general comment, and I would love to hear what everybody has to say about that, and that goes across the disability spectrum, by the way. The other thing is I do live in Tornado Alley.
Oh, yes.
Very much so. I happen to live away about 3 miles from where the largest death toll from any tornado ever occurred. 1953, a few months after my birth, not to belie how old I am, but we do the importance in, I know you guys brought it up, and I missed a little bit of it with the calling, but the importance of having, you know, the weather channels so that you can
make
a proper, you know, it is a matter of seconds, if not minutes, when it comes to a tornado.
Right.
I happen to be calling and working out of a basement office, which is always safe, as safe as you're ever going to get.
Okay.
With a cinder block or with a concrete block.
Yeah.
But, you know, having that capability in the knowledge, and actually, you know, one thing that you guys have brought up already, drilling. You know, so many people have been brought up on, you know, a terrorist attack, a nuclear attack,
You know what, Joe? I've only got Frank for an hour, so do you have a question for Frank?
Well, those are comments that I'd love to hear you talk about, you know, in both a generalized and a specific manner. And, my fundamental comment is always be prepared.
It's
the Boy Scout thing.
That's a great mantra, and that's what this show is about, to make sure folks know how to be prepared from that blindness perspective. Thanks for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We do only have Frank with us for an hour, so if folks can, you know, kind of get to your question, that would be great. Then more folks can chat with Frank. You're listening to the Marlena program on ACB Radio Mainstream and WTND LP Macomb 106.3 FM. My guest tonight is Frank Cuda, a good friend and an extremely knowledgeable person, to discuss disaster preparedness from the blindness perspective. Frank, what about family communications? What you talk about that in your document? And we've got a caller. We're going to ask him to just hang on just a minute, and we'll get right to you. What do you mean?
I've been looking through here, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I've been trying to pick out things that are specific to blindness, and I've got a couple of more things here. One. This has to do with labeling things.
Yes. Very good.
Something you should have in every basic list says have a first aid kit. You know, how many people have opened up that first aid kit? And if you did, with outside help, would know what that stuff.
I know.
All those little packages and vials and things.
And I'm guilty of that, Frank.
Again, right now. You know,
right
sit
now.
Down with somebody
yes.
and go through it. And the things that you you can't identify, you know, get them identified and braille them. You know.
Yeah.
Because there's different salves and creams and, you know, smelling things. And, you know, if you don't know what they are, they aren't going to do you any good.
They're not going to do
you any
good.
Another thing is water purification. And I recommend that, you know, people have the water purification tablets because they're the easiest to use rather than, you know, people say, well, you can use bleach. Well, you can use bleach in the worst case when nothing else, you don't have anything else. And that's described in this document as saying, you know, how much to use and when to use it.
Yeah, but then...
But the tablets, again, how many tablets to how much water?
Yeah. And
you should have that brailled right on the package.
And even the bleach is a problem if you're a blind person because you're talking a matter of drops, guys, not eighth of a cup. I mean, you know, and I mean, there just aren't really accurate droppers that I'm aware of that accurately dispense. So if you're putting, you know, 17 or 18 drops of bleach into your water to purify it, if you mess up and you drink it, I'm not sure that would be so healthy. let me bring in our caller, and then we'll chat a little bit about family communications. Hi there, you with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
Wow, that was very good transitioning there, Marlena.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bishop.
Because the question I have is about family communication.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow, I must be reading it or something. I don't know where it is.
You will find out where it is. I wouldn't tell him where it was so that he'd listen to the show. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I have a question, Frank. What do you think about, you know, how lots of schools and even workplaces, because we just had one last week at work, have fire drills? And what do you think about doing that in family circumstances? Say you have, well, any combination of either blind parents or blind children with sighted parents. I mean, it really doesn't matter. But what do you think about doing, a 10 o'clock at night fire drill type thing to...
Well, it's really important because what are the chances that everybody's going to be together when you have this fire,
Yeah.
Each person, the three-year-old or the six-year-old has got, the more that they understand about what to do, the better, because they are very likely going to be on their own,
Right, right. Yeah, we've done that here at our house, but we haven't done it enough. But I think it really is important because it really, you review it and you make sure that, you discuss exactly what the plans are, go outside, go across the street or whatever, wherever you need to go to be safe. And, and then actually practice it because I think that's important.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, thanks, Dr. Bishop.
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. When I think about family communications, I think about the one thing right that I've done. And that's pretty sad that I haven't got my stuff brailled, and I've got the kit, but I don't know what's in it, and you're absolutely right, and I will manage that. But one of the things that I did, and we do have another call, we'll ask them to hold just a moment. One of the things that I did, Frank, was on my cell phone, I followed the lead out of the UK. They suggested that after the London subway bombings that you put a number in your cell phone and you call it ICE. ICE, in case of emergency. And so I actually have an ICE, which is Gary, and then an ICE-1, which is someone on the East Coast in the event that Gary is not able to be available. Do you think that caught on here, or is somebody going to look at my cell phone and say, what the heck is ICE, and I've wasted my time?
I've never heard of that, but it's a great idea. It's really important that but for a family in particular, that everyone be aware of one contact, usually an out-of-state relative contact, in the case you actually are all in separate places when disaster hits. And so, someone who you can all call and check in with so that you, even though you may not all get back together for days, everybody knows that everybody else is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and make sure you establish that contact, and that person knows that they are that contact.
And that they don't have an unlisted number.
Yes, oh, good point, yes.
Something else about telephones I want to jump in with, before.
Sure.
How many people now have got, in their whole house, they don't have a regular phone anymore?
Oh,
they
yes.
You got wireless, cordless phones, an answering machine, and all these things that require power, external power. An old regular telephone does not require power. It gets enough from the telephone line. So if all your power in your house goes out and your telephone line is still alive, if all you have is a cordless phone, system, and a lot of people are going to these, you don't have telephone.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, you've got no AC
and
power.
So hang on to that old phone,
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
still plug it in and use it. And for cell phones, that something else that I learned was when a disaster hits, everyone's using the voice frequencies. The text messaging frequencies are usually wide open, and they don't use as much bandwidth. So a lot more people can be text messaging and not, using up the bandwidth. So, if you've got a cell phone and if it has text messaging on it and you haven't learned how to make it accessible or haven't, purchased your cell phone with the idea of having text messaging that's accessible, you blocked off one possible avenue there of good communication.
Sure. Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Sue Amateur.
Hello.
Well, I can tell you... when you really do go through a disaster, we had the earthquake in Seattle in 2000 or whatever year it was.
Oh, gosh,
and
yes.
I had let my cell phone run down, and we had to evacuate our building.
Ugh.
You're basically out of luck. you know, and you forget a lot of things that you would, you know, we're being very rational right now because everything is okay, right? I forgot to call my parents. It wasn't that I didn't want to call them. It just didn't occur to me. And all they knew was that the earthquake center was where my building was. And I felt really horrible afterwards. I have two questions, Frank, for you. Again, where do you get the radio that you referred to earlier?
Red Cross.
And you can just buy it?
Yeah, I've got a link on it, on my webpage. By the way, let me jump in with the webpage. It's www.cuta.net/prepared.html. That's the document online. Or you can just open up, you know, www.cuta.net and go to the link and click on it.
And it's up there now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a link for the Red Cross there.
Okay.
And they sell this radio. It's the, I think I was saying SF. It's the F as in Frank, S, Sam. The Frank Sam 300 and 400 are the radios I recommend. I've got a question for you, but go ahead and ask your second one.
Okay. Can you make some recommendations about what people should put in their pack for foodstuffs?
Oh, yes, that was on my list also.
It's really a general list, and it's in the document. You know, it's just basically, you know, food, water, you know, stuff for the dog. It's a pretty comprehensive list in the document.
Okay.
I couldn't do it off the top of my head. I couldn't tell you everything. But water is really crucial, and you should have, you know, 2 quarts for drinking and 2 quarts for hygiene and stuff for each day, and they're recommending, you know, at least three days.
And that's the part
of the question I have for you is, how deep is your well?
How what?
How deep is your well?
Oh, good. Well, we have a community well, and I don't know how deep it is.
Okay. I was thinking that you weren't that high, that you might have a fairly shallow well. For people who have a well that's like we had in West Richland that had water that was only down about 20 feet, you can get a hand pump for like $50 down at Ranch and Home and have unlimited amount of water whenever, no matter what the disaster, you know. Not many people are in that situation. But
actually what happened to us when the power did go off in the windstorm, we didn't have power for 30 hours, and the well ran out of water.
The
couldn't get water.
Yeah.
So the utility is probably going to give us a generator.
And, Sue, I'm looking at Frank's document now and skimming through it, and some of the items for the foodstuffs that he lists are, and I won't read them all, but a large box of crackers, a large jar of peanut butter, a small box of powdered milk, some dry unsweetened cereal, a jar of soft cheese. Oh, gosh, we can finally find something to do with Cheese Whiz. cheese and cracker, you know, like the packaged
right.
crackers and cheese. A six-pack of soda. Let me just skip down here. Some juices, orange juice, apple juice in the cans.
The other thing I remember reading on a thing from Carla Rushable was a box of graham crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crackers
yeah.
are good. Nuts.
Sure.
Crackers, nuts, energy bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, dried fruit and some prepared meat. And the thing that I like best is Frank says very clearly in here somewhere, put a few sweets in. The treats will make you feel good, and it'll give you some energy as well. So I like that, too. Who would ever think to do that? So, but, you know, just, and then, of course, there are the MREs, meals ready to eat. I think that's what they're called. They probably taste pretty bad, but
actually, they taste pretty good, and the new ones actually have built-in heaters now.
Really?
Actually, they'll heat themselves up.
And it seemed to me like on the ACB list, Carla or somebody had a website, and she said, you know, some of them are kind of expensive, but again, you know, if you just want to be prepared and have things. So I should be doing my pack right now, but I probably won't.
Well, we'll bug you about
check
it till
those
you
windows.
Do. Yeah, at least go check your windows.
It's a long way off our deck, let me tell you. That's how we probably have to get out of here if we couldn't get out the front door. So we probably should have a ladder.
Yeah. Well, in Frank's document, he does...
I have a question. Okay. If and this is, I mean, I'm not being facetious here. If you are in a high window, okay, you could get the roll-up ladder for the, you know, the person, what would you do with the guide dog?
That's a really good question. I think for me, what I would do is I would try to get her onto the ladder and keep her ahead of me so that I'm going down backwards and she's higher on the ladder than I am and try to steady her. But I have no idea. I've never thought about that.
Some animals will ride on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. Depending on how large the dog is, you could actually carry it on your shoulders and go down.
Yeah.
And of course, if a dog's scared and squirming, it's pretty hard to.
Then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the things that happened in Katrina. A lot of people didn't want to leave their animals, and that's when they got caught up too, which would be a scary thing.
Yeah, and you may find that you're in the situation where you make a decision to throw your dog out the window and hope that that it will survive. So, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of other callers, but good topic, Frank and Marlena. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Sue.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've got Frank for just a few more minutes, about another 13 minutes, give or take, and then we'll be in open forum in the second hour, where if you've called in the first, you can call back in the second hour. Frank, go ahead and give
another tip. I got another tip.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
This is one I got at the our WCB and state convention at the panel. You know, the panelists, you always pick up a couple of good things, and that's why I have a condensed document like this, because I put all these things together from all the panels and stuff. But something I picked up that I hadn't heard before, which is really good, okay, and it's not for blindness so much as just general. Never let your gas tank go below half.
Ah, yes,
people,
yes.
You know,
yes,
people think,
yes,
well, they just run it down to the bottom and think maybe a quarter or less than a quarter, and then they fill it up again and then they run it down. Well, okay, so you're down to an eighth of a tank and a disaster hits. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're on the other side of town, and these gas stations have electrically powered pumps, okay?
Yeah.
So the gas stations don't work anymore. And here you are stranded, perhaps for, you know, a long-term disaster, maybe several days, and from the rest of your family, where if you would have kept that tank up to a half a tank, you know, you could have gotten back.
Yeah, yeah. And another, we do have a caller we're going to bring in just a second, caller, but another point that as I'm frantically leafing through your document here is I love where you suggest that particularly, and you don't say it this way, but particularly people with disabilities, blind people, get to know your neighbors, for gosh sakes.
Right. Especially, you know, when you have something to offer.
Right.
Not just to depend on them,
right,
but they can depend on you. You know,
absolutely.
My example was ham radio, you know.
Yeah.
You're a ham radio person. You are a benefit to the whole community in a case of an emergency.
Well, and if the power goes out and everything is dark, guess who the leader is, guys? It's you. Let's bring this caller in. Got to push the right button. Hi there, you with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Bill Hogue.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Frank, I've got a question. Now I've got my emergency kit all put together with my first aid kit. Now, where do I store it?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I thought, well, you know, I've got one in the house and I've got one in the garage. Because what if the house falls down? I get out, there's a bad, real bad earthquake. I get out of the house, but my kit's in the basement covered with rubble, you know. So, yeah, I've got one out in the garage, too.
So you're suggesting actually two kits, one inside and one maybe outside in an outbuilding, perhaps?
Yeah, or a small one in the car, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, I've just, you know, just a thought that I had.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill. That's a good thought.
Okay, catch you guys later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. One of the...
By the way, in an earthquake, your house is probably going to stay standing.
Yes.
Up until a Richter scale of 6.5. Once you get up to 8, well, all bets are off.
Yeah, but
you know, the chances of actually being right in the, you know, the epicenter or something, and actually being in an 8 are very slim.
That earthquake, we do have another caller we'll bring in 1 second here, but that earthquake we had in Seattle was a 6.9, I think. So that was a pretty scary one. And before we bring in the caller, I just also want to throw in another tip that Frank has in his document that is very relevant to us as blind folks. Keep gloves and boots and things to cover the exposed parts of your body.
And dog booties.
And dog booties, that's right.
There could be a lot of broken glass.
That's right. And we can't see it, and we don't know where it is. And let's bring this caller in. Hi there, you're with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, it's Steve Bauer.
Hey, Steve Bauer, how are you?
I'm doing fine. You mentioned one thing that just kind of cracked me up, because at work, I work in a downtown office building, and they have what people are called emergency floor coordinators.
Oh, yes.
And they get to wear these pretty orange hats, and they're supposed to make sure everybody gets out. And they're all really concerned, and almost extra overly concerned about me getting out. And I keep telling them, I say, hey, guys, look, if the lights go out, I'm leading you out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
What I wanted to say was that I have been asked to work on a special project, which is getting very, very interesting. We have just converted in the last 2 years to one of these fancy Cisco voice over IP phone systems. And we are looking at a software package that will integrate with all of this, that has the ability to alert everybody on their telephone, either through the speaker on the phone or through the handset if they're on the phone, and through speakers in the hallway, of different emergencies such as weather evacuations, bombs, whatever.
Oh.
And the thing can send text messages over the screens. I was real excited about that.
Yeah, that'd do you good, Steve.
And you can have pre-recorded WAV files for the initial warning. You can go live. You can target it to designate which buildings, even get down to which floors in a building. And it's extremely interesting how this whole software package will interface and serve to assist people in the event of an emergency in a building.
Wow, that's really interesting. I didn't realize that phone systems were doing that.
Well, remember, when you move to the IP world, almost anything is possible.
Sure, sure.
It's different because it's no longer a telephone system. It's an IT project.
Very interesting. So maybe people should, if they are employed in a building setting like that, perhaps get on to the employee committees that work with evacuation, et cetera, and make this recommendation for this type phone system.
Well, it never really hurts to be involved. In addition, I'm going to be actually teaching classes to these emergency floor coordinators on severe weather and evacuation procedures, and I'm suddenly getting involved in all this, and I never had any idea it was going to happen.
Wow, very interesting. Now, Steve, you also live in a tornado area.
Oh, yeah.
What's your best suggestion for someone when they hear a tornado's coming?
Go outside and look for the tornado.
You are so bad.
Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people
I know.
Do.
I know it.
And what is happening is, in the past, and this is true all over the country, in the past, when a tornado warning was issued, one flip of the switch by the big man in charge, you know, it turns on all the sirens.
Yeah.
Well, that tornado may only be affecting the northeast quadrant of the county.
Correct.
But then the whole county is being told go to cover. Well, they are, across the country, the effort is being made to put quadrants in so that they can sound the sirens just for a certain portion of the county that is affected by the storm.
And, of course, if you have vision and you still have your television, you can watch the Doppler, because that's pretty location-specific. But if you're blind, you don't have that. So this would be a benefit for those of us who can't watch the television.
And the other thing is about the information on the weather radio, which is great. I'm weather radio poor. I've got them all over the place. But the bad thing is that they have stopped giving a lot of radar information and that type of thing because it's so available on the web and on TV.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Mr. Bauer.
I'll talk to you later.
I hope you will. Bye-bye. Frank,
yeah, I want to talk about pandemics before.
Yes, that's just where I was going as well. I want to talk about pandemics, and I want to talk about medications and how to plan for that.
Right. Okay. Well, pandemics. Okay. I read a really interesting article from the New York Times. I think it was on the Evergreen Radio Reading Service, actually. It said initially, you know, non-pharmaceutical methods of dealing with the pandemic are going to be the most effective. I mean, there's not going to be enough antivirus or, you know, medicine around, and the stuff that is available won't be really effective until the second time comes around. So basically, you limit social gatherings, close schools, sleeping in separate rooms, work in separate offices, wash your hands a lot, and wear a protective mask. And they claim that this, just by wearing a surgical mask, like, you know, they wear in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
will actually protect you more than anything else. These things, you know, they're airborne particles. That's how the pandemic stuff is transmitted, the flu virus and so on. And they only live for a few minutes. They stop on the mask and they die.
Wow. Can we buy those in the drugstore?
Yes, you can. Well, not, I don't know if they're drugstores, but medical supply houses. Mm-hmm. And there's a link on my website.
Okay. All right. We do have one last call for you, Frank, and then I'd like to end up by sharing your tips about the medications, and then we'll give your website. But let's bring in this last caller. Hi there. You're with Frank and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello. This is Lois. Hi, both of you.
Hey, Lois.
Hi, Frank. Just a quick thought. I laughed when Marlena talked about running around in the dark and we would be the ones leading people out, and I agree. But I'm thinking, too, seriously, it's good for, like, I'm totally blind, and I live alone in a mobile home on my own lot in Southern California. My biggest thing is earthquakes, disaster-wise, but I'm thinking that it's also, I found, even in non-serious disasters, we should keep flashlights and things around, too, for those who need help or come to help us and don't have one. Now, the reason I'm aware of this is because I've had people crawling around in dark corners here trying to help me fix something, and they're going, I can't see. And I'm saying, tell me your problem,
yeah.
and I go find them a flashlight.
Yeah. Good idea. Good idea. All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Lois.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, that is a good point. Just because we can't see to use flashlights, the people who come to assist us certainly can, and we ought to have them. And I've seen these flashlights that whose manufacturers purport that the battery life is purported to be something like 5 years, and you plug them in and they're LEDs, and so I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff out there, and that's a good idea. All right. What about you? You talk about making sure you've got your medications, and the thing that I
make sure you've got a 3-month supply.
Yeah, that's the point. That's where I wanted to go. Is that, you know, if you're taking an ongoing medication, as many of us do, you don't just want a 60-day supply. You want that 90-day supply, and then you also say something about getting an extra prescription.
Well, yeah, you may have to actually have the doctor write one to get that 90-day supply, to get more than 1 month.
Yeah.
Because the gun point was only fill 1 month at a time.
Yeah,
Don't you run into that?
Yes, yes.
So you actually have to have the doctor write you a prescription specifically for that purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Frank, I really appreciate you joining us tonight. This has been absolutely fascinating. Please give your website out one more time.
Right, yes. It's www.cuta, my last name, cuta.net. And you can go directly to the document by putting a slash prepared.html on it. Or you can just go to the website and there's a link to the document.
Thank you so much, Frank. You've obviously put a lot of energy and thought into this, and I really do believe that you can be and may well be responsible for saving lives, and that's just a very special thing, and I appreciate you coming on the program with us tonight.
Well, that's a great feeling. I hope that someone does benefit from it.
All right. Have a
I don't wish that anyone has ever entered an emergency.
Yeah, but if you are, by golly,
right,
now
yeah.
you know what to do. All right. Thanks so much, Frank. Have a great night.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
We'll be back just after this. You're listening to the Marlena program, heard on ACB Radio Mainstream and WTND LP Macomb, 106.3 FM.
Talk to me. You know that I would listen if you talk to me. You don't do it anymore. Why don't you talk to me? It's the only thing that's missing now. The only time I hear you is when you snore. Speak to me, or maybe you've forgotten how it
is. Oh, yeah, Speak to Me on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Marlena, and we're just about to enter the open forum hour.
Talk to me.
So I really want you to call me up and talk to me.
You don't do it anymore. Why don't you talk to me?
Because if I have to talk for this entire hour, we're all going to be pretty darn bored. The number to call is 866-666-7926. And I do have Frank's document here in front of me. Although not having bound it, it is in quite a bit of disarray right now as I was leafing through it to try to find relevant things. So we can continue on with discussing disaster preparedness or any other thing that you might like to discuss here on the Marlena program, 866-666-7926. It's certainly been a sad week in the southeastern part of the United States, and our thoughts and prayers go out to anyone who was victimized by the weather and then the horrible bus crash in Georgia. So, you know, disaster doesn't have to be huge, and it doesn't have to be a terrorist attack, but it's anything that causes us to really have to kind of take many steps back and figure out how to function. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena, Joe again.
Hi, Joe again. I thought your last name was Harch.
Well, it is.
But and now you changed it to again.
It's good for you to remember.
Oh, okay. All right.
How are you? Well, we've already been through that, haven't we?
Well, sort of, kind of. You know what? I'm a little tired, actually. Now that we're in open forum, I could be a little more relaxed. I'm kind of like, ugh.
Oh, okay, take a deep breath.
I don't know why I'm tired, though. I shouldn't be. Well, I do know why, because you know what? I was up listening till 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock this morning, my time, to Ray Campbell, who was on WGN in Chicago, and he was doing a beautiful job discussing the accessible currency issue.
And wasn't that nice? And actually, yours truly heard that.
Well, then you know I was up late because I called.
And I got up at 4 in the morning. But
oh, my gosh.
How did I work all that out?
I don't know.
My mathematical skills are just amazing, aren't they?
Well, we'll find you some disaster preparedness for that, too.
Actually, you know, I did want to fall back into, you know, the topic here.
Sure,
and,
no problem.
And to overlap, as I always do, with accessibility.
All right.
And one of the things that, by the way, I'm in the dark ages and I only have dial-in, so when I call into your show, you know, I have to.
Oh, you have to stop listening.
Yeah. So, you know, tell me if you covered some of these things.
Okay.
Well, okay, because I don't want to be redundant. Not that I never am.
Right. Not that I never am redundant. That's it.
Yes. So I've never been
that.
Redundant before.
Yeah, there you go.
Over and over again.
Over and over. I say that again and again.
Yes. two great minds thinking alike.
That's a scary thought, yes.
But one of the things that really overlaps with accessibility, with anti-discrimination, with acceptance of people with disabilities and integration of people with disabilities in disaster preparedness is in the notion of accepting and integrating us into first aid training.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's a very big problem. You know, I've run into it. You may or may not know this, but, you know, I've not always been blind, but I've always worked with people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I have retinitis pigmentosa, mm-hmm. so, you know, I got the whole spectrum of blindness, and we don't even need to go here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I first learned advanced first aid training in CPR in the 70s when I worked with what was then called people with mental retardation.
Sure.
And I worked as a paraprofessional in those areas. But it was... And it wasn't even required or mandatory, that type of thing. But we're working with people with severe multiple disabilities. And you had chronic incidents always cropping up. I mean, why do people have to not be prepared, you know, to handle an incident of somebody who's going to have an epileptic seizure four times a day?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same type of thing goes on in our society. You know, why are people, in this case, who are blind, excluded, you know, from being prepared to be first responders?
Actually,
one
of the things that Frank does talk about, and I'm trying to find it in this document, actually the document that I'm looking at is 51 Braille pages, and it isn't even appropriately formatted. I mean, I've got it crudely formatted, so it would be actually a little bigger, just to give y'all an idea of the amount of work that Frank has done with this. But one of the things that he does talk about somewhere in here is that his chapter of the Washington Council of the Blind works with the Red Cross on an ongoing basis, and they do first aid training. They have classes set up for blind folks to take, and I think that's a great thing, whether you are with an organization, ACB, NFB, whatever, or you're on your own.
Exactly.
You know, let's just get out there and take these classes.
And why should we be excluded, you know, for we're just blind.
Right.
We can't handle that.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'll tell you what, we're also human.
That's right.
And stuff's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
We all have, you know, people in our lives, and well, actually, it happens to ourselves, too. I'm fond of saying I'm legally blind and I have scars to prove it, so might need to have first aid upon ourselves
Time
to time, too.
That's exactly what I was going to add, is that, you know, you may live with your mom and your dad or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but you can't absolutely guarantee that they're going to be with you in an emergency. And if you become severely cut, you need to know how to stop that bleeding. You need to know how to take care of yourself, if nothing else.
And some of those things are very, very basic, and they're almost common sense. You know, and so, you know, my point in bringing this up is in including us in basic first aid training is to have some of those materials in accessible format, having the knowledge of the capabilities of people who are blind or otherwise disabled in handling these affairs. And this is what I'm talking about, preparatory to the disaster, you know, in making sure that our overall community infrastructure is accessible and non-discriminatory,
mm-hmm.
if you catch my drift.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I had this friend, and I'll leave you with this, because I'm sure you want to talk to other people, but who happened to be a legally blind person who was getting her Red Cross certification in Massachusetts, a very liberal state, a nice state, lovely state. We both love it, right?
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, and was totally discriminated against at that time.
That's bizarre.
In receiving the materials for that first aid testing
and yet,
in accessible format.
And yet in Massachusetts in the 70s, I took first aid along with several other blind folks. So, you know, it's that's interesting. Same state.
Well, it was the Red Cross.
They
refused to give her the materials in an accessible format.
Mm.
And it might have been the particular division. But my point is not to point at one state or another. You know, we all know Massachusetts is great, so we don't have to go there, right? But the fact that we have to look at the overall advocacy and, you know, keeping our eyes on the prize.
Right.
You know, I'm in the great state of Michigan, but we have just some not very enlightened places around here when it comes to access.
Yeah.
So. I'll leave you with that, and it's a great topic, a great show, and it goes to everything about being blind or being disabled, in my opinion.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe.
Well, you have a great night, my friend.
I will. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. And leafing through Frank's document, some of the other things that he recommends that you put into your pack, and he does recommend backpack so that things can be easily stored and easily moved. He recommends some fruit cocktail, whether it's, you know, water packed or light fruit cocktail, whatever you like, but, you know, 6 small cans of that. He recommends, as I said, a can of prepared meat. A gallon of water per day should be for each person for drinking. And I'm not sure if that's also cooking, but a gallon of water per day. Eating utensils. A mechanical can opener. Disposable cups and plates. Okay, so, you know, just a few things. Yeah, you hear me say, of course. Well, of course, of course. How many people in this listening audience have a pack put together? I've not heard anyone say, I have a pack put together. How many of you have taken the time to take care of yourselves? I love you. I don't want to lose you. I need all the listeners I can get, and I want you to take care of yourself and put these things together. Frank also suggests that you can augment what goes into your pack with nuts, dried fruit, beef jerky, energy bars. My favorite, some sweets, and some salt, some sugar, and some spices. You know, just and you can get these things in their miniature sizes in the store. You don't have to, you know, go out and buy the regular sizes of things. And on the radio, we hear be prepared for 3 days in all ways. Well, you know, I think 3 days is pretty optimistic, particularly if we suffer from a pandemic. You know, who knows? Who knows what we'll be looking at? Other kinds of things that he talks about, again, in the emergency first aid kit. Now, that kit should, of course, be in your backpack And the Red Cross has an emergency kit that comes with many of these things, but things like adhesive bandages of various sizes, sterile gauze pads, rolled gauze, you know, where it's on a roll and you unravel it and put it around something to make something tight around you, around your arm, or triangular bandages. I've never even seen a triangular bandage. So again, all of this stuff is out there, and it isn't if something happens, it's when something happens. 866-666-7926 is the number, and I am looking forward to hearing from you.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
Information on how you can donate to ACB Radio is available at our webpage, www.acbradio.org. And thank you for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. Yes, that's Don Barrett's motto that won him the reading system. Your listening is our business. Well, it's about 17 minutes past the hour. We'll be with you till the top of the hour. I'm Marlena. I have some dogs coming in here. Oh, and I have Gary the board guy coming in here. Are you? Oh, Gary the board guy's coming on the air. Now, that's a shocker.
Make sure that
this is live radio at its finest as Gary prepares to...
I don't have a set of headsets, so you'll have to tell me what I sound like.
I'll tell you what you sound like, all right.
I can get this thing plugged into the board.
I'm not sure what's going on here, folks. This is as exciting to me as I hope it is to you.
I can't see what I'm doing. It's darkening.
Can I pop this mic up yet? All right.
Am I there? Yes,
you,
I am.
Yes,
I
you
see
are.
The lights
Let
blinking.
Me get you. There you go.
Okay.
You go.
Frank was talking about the backpacks and so forth. One of the things that the American Red Cross puts out, and when I was working for my previous employer, once a year they would sponsor a preparedness day, and one of the main attractions was the American Red Cross. They have several different kinds of survival kits that you can buy. Some of them are very pricey, but if you need to knock together something real quick, you can put together a backpack for four people that will supply the water, the warmth. It has the blankets inside, the space blankets. It has such things as a pry bar. For instance, out here in the Pacific Northwest, if the house is trying to collapse around you and you need to work your way out, the pry bar, if you can get to the kit, that's the main thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The pry bar is a very essential thing for pulling stuff apart and moving stuff around. It has a big 25-foot piece of hemp rope in it. It has, of course, the first aid kit and a radio, which is not near as good as what Frank was talking about.
Yeah,
but it is a radio.
I was thinking about our radio in that kit, and it doesn't have the weather.
No, it does not. It's just an AM/FM radio,
yeah.
Just a little inexpensive transistor radio. Mm-hmm. But we do have very, very high-energy food bars in it, 5,000 calories per bar. It's the kind of things that the military used, at least when I was in it, for survival kits. It's not pemmican, but it's, I think, probably fairly close to it. It doesn't taste real great until you get it into water with a bunch of red pepper or something like that. So there are a lot of things that you can buy that are pre-prepared that you may want to customize. Now, we have one little backpack out there, and we need probably two now since we have two dogs. One little backpack out there was a one-person backpack that turned into a one-dog backpack. And It's one that we can throw into the car when we're traveling or take with us when we're going someplace. It's a fairly small thing, but it has all the doggy first aid items and the doggy survival things, including a couple of bags of food in there, but it's not near enough to last for 90 days.
And the one thing we don't have is boots for the dog.
Well, yeah. We have boots for one of them, but
yeah. So we can put on the two front feet of two dogs, but yeah.
She wouldn't wear them if you made her.
Yeah. Some of the other items that Frank talks about are non-prescription drugs. So when you think about putting this pack together, you want to think about things like aspirin or pain relievers that work, like aspirin, you know, your Motrin, your aspirin, your, you know, whatever. Antacid. I would never think about antacid. But, you know, you're probably going to be your nervous system may, and your digestive system may not quite be what it is on a good day. So you think about that. And something very interesting, Epicac, which is a substance that is used to induce vomiting, and you would use that if that was advised by a poison control center. But if they come on the radio and they say, you know, if you've got Epicac, you know, and you've had water, you know, you need to use it. Well, if you don't have it, you're in real trouble, obviously. And laxative activated charcoal. That's an interesting one. And something else, and again, that would be if a poison center recommends it. But something else that Frank does stress is a porta potty and stock up on toilet paper. Now, we don't have a porta potty. Right?
Well, we don't have a porta potty, but I can dig a hole in the backyard. No, that's a good idea. It's a very good idea. When we went through survival training in the military, one of the big issues was sanitation and how to stay healthy and how to keep from getting sick and how to keep from spreading sickness around if somebody was sick. And it is a big issue. So if you get into a situation where you're on your own for some period of time, sanitation becomes a very, very, very big issue.
Yeah, and most definitely. Frank also has some other suggestions in this document that include make a Braille list if you are a Braille user, a print list if you're not. Make a list of all of the medications you take and the dosages. And with your doctor's, you know, phone number, et cetera. Because you don't know. You don't know what you're going to encounter. And when you are nervous and things are just not the way they ought to be, our thought processes are not always the way they ought to be. So make that list. Additionally, Frank talks about the importance of everyone, and in particularly those of us who are blind, because I think sometimes we may sort of assign this duty to someone sighted, and the importance of knowing where that gas valve shut off is, where the wrench to shut it off is, and how to shut off your electricity. Now, how many of you know where to go? Where's that? Where is the master switch? If you need to shut that off, we can't always plan for the fact that someone sighted will be at home with us. When we had our big earthquake, the only sight I had in the house was two dogs. I'd never been in an earthquake before in my life. I was not at all prepared. I had no idea where anything was. And Gary was at work and couldn't shut the gas off. I didn't know where it was. And so in that instance, he told me to leave the house because we didn't know what the gas was doing. But, getting that, knowing where those shutoffs are is pretty important.
I have one thing I have to add on the medication, and that is I'm in a position where I can't get one of my medications more than 30 days at a time. It's a controlled substance, and trying to put together a 90-day supply of this stuff is next to impossible. So what I have done is each time I reorder, if I have a few pills left over, I dump them into a pill bottle, and I started collecting them. And I have collected quite a few of these things, but then you run up against another problem. Now that you got them collected, the darn things are going out of date. And so you have to do something with that. So what I'm trying to do now is that I'm trying to rotate them through and put the fresh stuff in and take the old stuff out and use that. So it's, you know, it's a constant thing. It's one of those things that you have to keep doing, and you have to keep in the foremost, the front part of your mind when you do these things. The other thing is where do you turn off the water? Well, in our place, I can't get to the darn thing, so... It's going to be up to Marlena, either that or we're going to have a heck of a water spout here.
Yeah. Another, by the way, the telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. We'd love to hear from you with your thoughts as well. Somewhere else I read, and I thought this was just a really good idea, have some entertainment in your pack. Now,
our packs include cards.
Yes, but they're not Braille, and you don't play cards.
But
so
we could.
That's a real bummer.
I'll tell you what, I do play solitaire by myself.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I don't know too many people who play solitaire other than by themselves. But anyway, have something that will entertain you, and you know, in our case. Maybe we want to throw in a cassette recorder and a talking book, you know, and kind of rotate that talking book out so you can get it back to the library, of course. But, you know, something or a Braille book, something that will give you some entertainment. And Frank also suggests that we have available sleeping bags that go down to below zero. And he suggests that you can pick them up pretty inexpensively at Goodwill. And also he suggests a roll-up sleeping mat. You don't know what you'll be sleeping on. If your house comes down, you're outside. He also suggests considering a small tent. And if you have an outbuilding, as we do, if that outbuilding is standing, of course, our outbuilding is filled with so much junk that this idea wouldn't work, but someday we'll clean that up. And if you can erect the small tent, you take the things that you normally would store in the outbuilding out, put them into your tent, and then you've got a more substantial shelter in that outbuilding. So just things that I certainly would not have thought of. And we have a quiet audience tonight. Why, you guys? I feel like I'm running a telethon. 866-666-7926. Maybe everyone is out getting their disaster kits prepared for, you know, following our great advice. What do you think?
I don't know, but it's awfully quiet.
Yeah,
it's awfully quiet. I was just trying to think of any of the other goodies that that we had in those Red Cross kits that might be a little bit. Well, they're meant to be compact, but they are. Very, very complete. The one thing I will say about the Red Cross kits is you have to have a small man and a small boy and a man to pick them up. They are really, really heavy.
Yeah, they're very heavy.
We have a two-person kit and we have a four-person kit, and I keep, as Frank does, them in two different places. I also have a like I said before, the one-person kit that I converted into a dog kit. And I can't think of anything else. One of the things that Frank mentioned that's in both of those four- and two-person kits is a big old pair of horse hide or mule hide gloves. Really, really, really important to have if you're trying to work your way out of a tough spot.
And as a blind person who hates to wear gloves, it occurs to me that what we need to be doing as blind folks is working with those gloves now. Start looking at life through those gloves before the disaster arrives so that we kind of know what we're feeling, or we at least know how impeded our sense of touch is going to be, or how altered our sense of touch is going to be by using heavy gloves. Because none of us who's blind likes, at least no one that I know, likes to wear those heavy gloves. And yet, you know, and I get that thought from actually reading Eric Weinmeier's book, To Touch the Top of the World. He had to learn how to erect his tent on Mount Everest while wearing these really thick gloves. And of course, that's pretty tough if you use your hands to see. And so he would take his gloves on a sunny, dry day, and he would go out somewhere and work on erecting that tent while wearing those gloves. So extract from that. Oh my gosh, we have a whole other line ringing that isn't supposed to be ringing, but we'll pick it up because we know who it is. Hello, Dr. Bishop.
The reason why you're not getting any calls is because your line is busy.
No. Oh my gosh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Thank you, Nikki.
We'll have to send Gary the board guy back to look at the web page. Jeff says the line is busy.
The line is busy.
And that's what you, yeah. Ah, I wondered what was going on.
Well, yes, so I thought I'd call you on the bat line.
Okay, I'll go check it.
All right.
Turn off my microphone.
Bye. He's going to check to make sure that he put us back online. I was like wondering, wow, this is the first time this has ever happened. I think we're going to fire Gary the board guy if he didn't enable, because I just checked the line, and there's like a dial tone, and I'm thinking, golly, I can't believe that no one is calling. So just hang on, guys, and then you can all call at once and laugh at us.
Yes, exactly. Coming up on Main Menu on Tuesday,
yes,
Wednesday.
What is, let's vamp here for, I love live radio, don't you?
Oh, it's just fabulous.
That's wonderful. What's coming up?
You know what happened on Main Menu Live last week?
What? I wasn't here.
You missed all the fun.
I did.
So on Main Menu Live last week, one of our listeners who got up at 2 in the morning UK time to hang out with us was having major Skype difficulty, and he didn't get it fixed until about literally 3 seconds before we got on air. It was a very tense and very nervous moment.
Oh, no.
It was very, very stressful.
All right. Well, we have a call, so we'll ask them to hold on. What's going on Main Menu?
Okay, so this week on Main Menu, we're going to continue our series on Merck.
Ooh, okay.
And then we're also going to hear all about the non-visual desktop access screen reader.
All right.
And you'll be able to call in and talk to the author who's in Australia.
Oh, very
cool. So we're waking all these guys up and having them, you know, talk
to them
all night.
There you go. Get them up to listen to ACB Radio.
That's right, darn it. That's one way to bring up your numbers.
All right. All right.
We'll see you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, let's hang up on Dr. Bishop and bring this caller in. Hi there, caller. Gosh, I'm glad to hear you. Who's this?
Hi, it's Jeffrey, a very faithful, interactive, and Main Street ACB Radio listener, and I have been trying for the past, 30 minutes or so.
Yes, well, we're gonna fire Gary the board guy. Yes.
Let's not do that. No. Gary is a good guy. And Arlena, although I've only been listening but haven't been interacting with you very much, but I gotta say, it's very good to hear your voice. I'm back in Northern California. I'm no longer in Pensacola, Florida.
Well, welcome back to the West Coast.
Thank you. Good thing and a bad thing. The only, and I won't get much into it because we're talking about disaster preparedness, but the good thing is I'm back. I have my own place here in Northern California. The bad thing is I lost my wife in 2004.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. She was very sick, and at 49 years old, she passed away.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, but we're glad you're back on the West Coast, and I hope you'll call me again, and we'll make Gary the board guy work the phones right next week.
Well, before I let you go,
yes.
Dear, I'm having some problems with being able to get into the chat rooms via ACB Radio's TC conference. I'm all connected, but it's only showing me as a participant as only one person. I have connectivity, everything on my end, but I'm only seeing myself, and I was thinking maybe you might be in the politics room.
Oh, no.
Doing the show.
No, actually, we haven't done that for quite some time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was too many things to keep track of, and it was really, we were trying to do it for the international listener,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't, you know, there wasn't, because we're on so late internationally, it just became more difficult to manage than the results it produced, so we've stopped doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because I can't seem to get any telephone support. Emails, fine, but it doesn't really help me with all of these specific questions that I have with the various chat rooms, again, ACB related, like with the speakeasy room. Is there hardly nobody in there? Every time I check, it only shows just one person. You're the only one, and I'm begging you to...
Oh, sure.
It
simply depends upon the time of day when you go in there. Now, on, I don't have this in front of me, but we actually do some taping of shows
mm-hmm.
in the politics room mm-hmm. on Tuesday nights.
And that would be in our time zone? What time?
And that Pacific? Would be Pacific time. I'd start looking at around 5 o'clock.
In the evening.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, and on Wednesday nights also, same time.
Same time, 5
in
o'clock.
In the politics room, yep.
In the politics room. Because I just want to make sure that I have full connectivity, people can hear me.
Sure.
And I haven't been able to field test anyone. So
sure.
I'm hoping somebody's going to log into one of the rooms, like the... speakeasy room, just so that I know that everything's configured properly on my end.
Well, are you in one of the chat rooms now?
Actually, I could actually go into one of them now. Which one would you recommend I go into?
Well, why don't you just tell people where you're going to be, and maybe somebody will hook up with you there.
Well, if people are listening from around the world, could you please, any time this evening between now and whenever, go into the speakeasy room. It is a nice, relaxed, I can test out my equipment. I did the local testing through my window, so it's all fine. I won't get into my antivirus, but I was able to bypass it, tell it not to block it, so I'm
all right.
Set to rock and roll.
All right, so meet Jeffrey in the speakeasy room.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
All right.
And not to get off the subject.
Okay, real quick.
I did check my circuit breaker. I know how to shut my electricity down. I don't have a disaster preparedness kit, I'm ashamed to admit, but I know and I do have the resources and hopefully potentially getting one, and I do know a lot of my neighbors around my
good for you.
My complex, and I know who lives next door to me on both sides.
All right.
So,
all right, and the next time you call me back, you will have started making your kit.
Well, I'll be doing something along those lines.
All right,
Marlena,
thanks Jeffrey.
And hello to Gary, and no, don't fire him.
All right, I'll keep him one more week.
Okay.
All right,
Marlena.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now.
The phones are working now. Phew, 866-666-7926 is the number to call. And we'll be with you for about another 20 minutes. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Dave here. How are you doing?
Hey, Dave. How many times did you try to call?
Quite a few. In fact, I even went to the trouble of trying to, I was being cheap. I was trying to dial free 411 to get you guys' phone number. I was thinking if I called the, you know, your toll number, at least I could tell you that the, but it wouldn't, the computer wouldn't work, and I couldn't find your number by the time, and finally Jeff beat me to it. So,
there you go.
But I knew when you guys were saying how quiet it was, and I called up on my other line. Pam's talking to somebody else now. I called up, and they're, you know what, that line's still busy. So I quick fired up Windows Live Messenger and noticed you weren't there.
We have our own mini disaster tonight. We certainly weren't prepared, were we?
I'm afraid. I'm supposed to, as a ham radio operator, I'm supposed to be prepared, and I really don't have a disaster kit. But I think one of the things that and I didn't tune in. Did he address at all the issue of blind people and the fact that we don't drive, so our kits are going to be necessarily a little different maybe than somebody else, because we got to carry them.
Yes, he did, and he did talk about using a backpack, and that's actually in his document, using a backpack, keeping it light, keeping canned foods, for example, to a minimum, because canned foods are heavier to carry. He talked about making connections with people around you because you can't drive, knowing your neighbors, etc. So, he did address
that. And unfortunately, California is not a very friendly state for doing that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's... that's limited to just California. You know, we're just not, society doesn't get to know its neighbors like it once did.
No, it sure doesn't.
Yeah.
And, but that's the only thing I would say. But yeah, I would, that's my only concern is that for those that don't drive, it does cause, present an additional impediment that, you know, I can't see us carrying, well, I guess if you had a backpacking type pack, you could carry your tent and stuff. But
yeah,
otherwise, it'd be a little bit much. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh. And one of those light tents, you know.
Oh yeah, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that comment in.
All right, sir. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, take care. Have fun but don't fire Gary. It's just,
I don't know.
We hams have this thing, you know. We don't read the manuals or anything, and we just assume it'll work. And of course, it doesn't.
Oh, poor Gary. He works. He works so hard. He really does. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. But,
oh well.
But I'm going to tease him about it for a
long
time.
Well, let me go see if I can catch up with this Jeff fellow. I'm good in the...
great. Yeah, catch up with Jeff in speakeasy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye. There you go, Jeff. We're solving problems left and right here. 866-666-7926. I'm Marlena. We'll be with you to the top of the hour. And if you're listening to the program at any time other than 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern, 2 to 3 UTC Monday morning, which is Sunday night in the U.S., it's a repeat. And please just put your feet up and enjoy the show. Wow, I got all that out quickly. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
I'm certainly happy Jeff called.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was going to have to use one of the other numbers that I have.
I couldn't. I was like, wow. Because I'm looking at the listener count, and there's a lot of you out there. And I'm like, have we put them all to sleep? Have they all been gassed? Or
It was called Busy Tone. One of the things that might be of interest for people to have, and I don't have one, so here I am saying this, one of those wind-up radios.
Yeah, that's Frank talks about
right.
that in the document, and he suggests that you make sure to get one with the weatherman on it.
Yes. In fact, I was just looking at a catalog with one in it.
He says NOAA radio weather alert is probably the most valuable source of information, and they provide advance warnings. I'm just sort of leafing through this thing to see if he gives us any other specific things. But on his website, cuta.net, is where you can find this document, this whole document.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. It's he's really done a lot of work with this.
And it's interesting because a lot of government agencies are going through this now, even with reference to agencies involving our, well, you know, as you know, I'm a board member for a transportation district.
Right.
And so we're even going through that process here.
Yeah.
And going through that, some of our Council of Governance, they're called different things in different jurisdictions, but they're doing joint collaborations with this issue. So
yeah, yeah.
How timely.
Yes, very timely. Very timely. Well, all right, sir. Well,
you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you.
And don't fire Gary.
Oh, don't fire it. So far, we have no votes in favor of firing Gary. So, all right.
Talk to you later.
We're taking votes.
Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Frank recommends http://weatherradiostore.com. Weatherradiostore.com. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena, it's Steve Bauer.
Hey, Steve Bauer.
Well, the redial button on my phone just fell off. So.
Well, you know, nobody's voting to fire Gary, so there's nothing I can do. You know,
yeah.
It's the help I have, you know, what can I say?
You know, in keeping with the main topic of this evening, I was going to pass along to you that there is a jazz and blues musician named Henry Butler, and he lost his entire home in the big Katrina hurricane.
Oh, my gosh.
And it might be real interesting if we could ever track him down to try to talk to him to find out what it was like for a blind person to
wow.
go through a major
yeah.
disaster.
That's a great idea. That's a really great idea. If you have any leads, pass them on to me, and I will also do some looking as well. But that is a great idea.
So, because I remember reading an article about his tragedy, and how he went back and basically all his Braille books were obviously trashed and
wow.
all of his awards and you know his total record collection, everything was just gone.
Wow. Wow, great idea. Let's try to make that happen.
All right, I'll see if I can come up with any leads. I don't know that I will have, but I will try. But it's Henry Butler.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
I'll go glue my redial button back on.
Oh, I think I'm being invaded by the board guy here. He says Steve's gonna glue. He doesn't have headphones on, so he can't hear you. But Steve's gluing his redial button back on.
I'm here.
Yes. Well, we're gonna fire him. All right. Did you want to say anything to Steve? Or?
Well, to Steve and the rest of the public. Okay. This is short. But when I was in the Air Force and taking check rides to stay current in the airplanes that I was flying, we used to have a phrase about passing those check rides. They were difficult to pass, and often people would bust the check ride, as we used to say. And the farther I went in my career, I learned there are them who have and them who will. You know, I've been doing this thing for several years, folks, and I finally became one who did.
Oh, well,
bye.
That's okay. No one's voting to fire you, so that's all right. All right. Well, yeah, let's look up that Henry Butler, Steve. I think that's a great resource.
I think it'd be a good story.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. 866-666-7926. And again, let me give that website for the Weather Radio Store. It's http://weatherradiostore.com. And Frank recommends this as a possible source. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, this is Eliza in Connecticut.
Hi there, Eliza. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
I should be writing a paper, so I wasn't going to call in. But I just wanted to... I didn't think I heard anyone mention having a Swiss Army knife or anything like that.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, in the pack.
Yeah, I have a Leatherman, and I mean it. You know, it just could be very handy for opening any of the containers you have in your pack or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Great idea.
Also, I'd love it if you could get the jazz guy on from the Katrina disaster. I went down and volunteered there twice cleaning up, and I was always like keeping an ear out for any blind people who had been through it or anything, and I didn't run into any. But it was fascinating, quite a situation.
So you went down and actually helped prepare. I mean, volunteered with the cleanup.
Yeah, I went.
Katrina? What was that like?
It was amazing. I went through school and basically we were gutting houses, so cleaning everything out, like furniture, taking down walls, ceilings, floors, sometimes just everything. It was very interesting.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Do you have any sight at all?
I have light perception, but that's it.
Did you find that you could participate or you sort of had your bearings as well as anyone else? Because, you know, I think in a disaster, I think we really have to use different skills, and I would imagine that for you to participate, even though you were not participating in disaster situations, but
right.
that you had to use some different skills, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I mean, I could go on forever about it, but it was fascinating because, yeah, you see a house in a very different way, first of all, just because when you're done with it, basically, it's just the upright beams. So, like, you walk through the walls or where the walls were just because there's, like, space between
wow.
these vertical beams. So, I mean, it's just a whole different feeling at the end anyway. But, yeah, I mean, you have to depend on sighted people a lot, on your team, whoever's working with you, just because everything's moving around all the time. Like, people are taking stuff out and moving stuff and creating rubble by taking down walls. But, I mean, it's definitely doable because my main thing would be, I mean, when you take down walls, you just use a hammer and just hit at it, and it's all very tactile in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sweep and pull out nails using a hammer as well, so I could do that. That's sort of my main
mm-hmm.
thing. So
mm-hmm.
it's definitely doable. I encourage anyone to go down and
wow.
help. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we'll do the best we can to get that jazz artist on. I think that would make a fascinating story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We have about 7 more minutes to go before we will call it a day and hang up the hat and go and eat some dinner and get ready for the day. We have another call. We'll bring them in. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. One thing I didn't hear mentioned, and it's possible I missed it, is that when you're dealing with any kind of medications, if for some reason you don't have them, it's a good idea to know what withdrawal symptoms to watch out for.
Oh, that's
so if you're
a good
on a
idea.
Prescription medication, and just because this is one of my areas of interest, if you Google chronic pain in quotes and disaster preparedness as well, you can find something from the National Pain Foundation on that information, and it will give you information on what to do.
Great idea.
So in case you're like me and, you know, realize you don't have that medication stocked up, it's a really good thing to know.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is a great idea.
And keep Gary around for me, would you?
All right. I'll keep him around. We'll give him one more chance.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let me just kind of run down. Frank recommends that a website to visit, which lists over 300 different items. And he says, including many pre-assembled kits water purification products, the special gas turnoff wrenches that he mentioned, 100-hour candles, MRE, those meals ready to eat, the MRE rations, masks, respirator masks, and escape ladders. And he says that that website is www.beprepared.com. That's www.beprepared.com. He also indicates that he found the best prices for the two and three story ladders were at Amazon.com. And, you know, if you do get those ladders, I mean, we live in a one story house, so, you know, we probably wouldn't be getting the ladder. But I've often thought if I did get one of those ladders, by golly, I would practice using it. I'd set it up. I'd learn to climb down it. I would absolutely know what the heck I was doing, you know, before I did it. In an emergency, you know. And then real quickly, because I know that I'm running out of time here, but Frank also talks about ways in which to reestablish your identity. If everything is lost in a disaster, in a fire, in a national emergency, how do you get yourself reestablished again? In this document, he gives you phone numbers. He gives you some suggestions. Make a list of all of your credit card numbers, your bank phone number. Put that in your pack. Keep that with you. And really, the document, he just gives a lot of great suggestions for reestablishing yourself after the disaster. And, you know, maybe keep some cash in your kit, because you cannot rely on the fact that the ATM machines are going to be working. So you need to make sure that you can sustain yourself and take care of yourself and have cash on hand. And until we get accessible money, put it in an envelope and Braille or large print or in some other way, note what denominations you've got so that you know. Because, again, you may have a great memory on a good day, you know, but when you're trying to survive this, your nerves are shattered. Whether it's an earthquake, a fire, a pandemic, an attack, whatever it is, you're not going to be the person you are right now sitting here listening to this. So I really, really hope that each and every one of you listening to this will take the time and follow these suggestions. I know that it's not a topic that that is perhaps one that we like to think about, but I'd so much rather that we were able to think about it and plan for it than to be caught short. And if this show has helped you in any way to do that, then I'm doing my job, and Frank's done his job. I'm Marlena. We'll be back next week with Dr. Stephen Lockley to talk about the sleep study being done at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Sleep study looking at the sleeping habits and issues of people who are congenitally blind. And that should be a very interesting show. So please come on back next week. Same time, same place, right here. Have a good week. And I'll talk with you soon. If you would like to reach me during the week, my email address is Marlena. That's spelled M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A at acbradio.org. Thank you to the people who help make this show possible, all the way from Australia to Arizona, stopping in the UK, and even my own Gary the Board Guy in the other room, who we won't fire. Thank you to all. We'll see you next week.